Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm John Norman, alongside, as ever, double Ashes winner Steve Harmison, looking back at all the action on day four at Trent Bridge in the first test match between England and India. You're listening to Following On. Well, if you're listening to the podcast by now, you probably know India need 158 runs to win the first test match after a fight back from England, who posted 303, thanks largely to the captain, Joe Root, who was seventh man out for 109. Put on decent partnerships along the way after England had lost two early wickets, 46 for two at one stage, and still well in arrears. It conjured up fearful thoughts that the day may end on day four, but not to be. A partnership of note with Dominic Sibley, who lasted 133 deliveries. Johnny Bairstow, hit a quick fire 30, Lawrence the same for 25, and Sam Curran as well weighed in with a few useful runs, but just a feeling that they were 40 or 50 short just to make this a real contest. When India came out to bat, they only had to face 14 overs and got off to a bit of a fast start. Rahul outscoring Sharma, but he was the one wicket to fall. Caught behind for 26. Good bit of bowling from Stuart Broad. Pujara had a few hairy, scary moments, but somehow ended up at stumps on the same score as Sharma. Both 12 not out. India hitting 52 for the loss of one wicket. And we come back on day five to see what occurs. India needing 158 runs to win. England nine wickets. Time to get in, stuck in, that is, to the action.
Story of the day.
So, Harmy, where are we today? Well, first off, let's just start with Joe Root, because he was magnificent in first innings. It was a bit of a surprise when he was out. He was furious when he was dismissed for 109. And you can see why, because he exposed the tail to the new ball and England folded the last three wickets going in quick fashion. I'm not sure it's quite enough for England to win this test match, but he's shown what's possible out there. He's also shown that if you've got good technique, you can score runs. And I'm not sure that the other batsmen really have a technique that comes anywhere near to Joe Root. But first up, superb innings from the England captain. And, you know, that little battle with Virat Kohli, he's gone one ahead.
Yeah, possibly gone one ahead. We've got to see what Virat's got to come back with, because the way Pujara played tonight, you're thinking, if you get the ball in the right area first thing tomorrow morning, you got a chance of knocking Pujara over, and Kohli would have to go and get a large proportion of these runs for India to win. I thought it was a magnificent innings by the England captain. I didn't think I could speak any higher of Joe. The same way I spoke of Jimmy Anderson over the course of the last few weeks. It was a phenomenal batting display. It was a great, great test match, dear. And what is it with this? You know, with the test matches, when you've got a wicket which is, it's got a little bit in it, there's a bit more there for the ball than the bat. It's so exciting. But class all will always come through. And I think Joe showed in the first innings, you know, he was batting on a different wicket to everybody else. And in the second innings, boy, what a fantastic knock. It'll be interesting to hear his comments after the game to see where that ranks, because for me, that was as good a 100 as I've ever seen Joe Root bat. He was awesome, absolutely awesome. And the test match is evenly poised. We left the game yesterday a bit frustrated, disappointed in England's play. We were 70 runs. England was 70 runs behind, and they end up with 209 as a target for India. Now, I think both sides during this last 7 or 8 hours would be happy with that, because I think at the start of the day, England would take a 209 to bowl at. And I think when Joe got to 100, I think Virat Kohli would have took 209, because I think they were staring down the barrel of maybe chasing 250, 260. And that would have been a very, very defendable total for England. As it happens, I still think India are probably in the pound seats at this minute in time. But we go into a fifth-day pitch. I know it hasn't been played on for all 5 days with the rain delays we've had and all the time that we've lost. But goes into a fifth-day pitch with tired bodies, tired minds, and runs on the board. I think England, I think it's evenly poised, just slightly in India's favour.
Yep, I agree with that. I tell you what, Harmy, it has just started to absolutely hammer it down here. We've been fortunate today. We haven't been fortunate on days 1 to 3, but the forecast was for very little play on day 4, and we've had a full day's play, and the heavens, 4 minutes after play has ended for the day, have just opened. It's absolute scene here at Trent Bridge. So so that's sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. I agree with you. I think that at times with Joe, you know, if you were to pick out his two main, not flaws, but, you know when he's in top form. And it has been a number of years since the Joe route of maybe 2013 to 2017 was really back and apparent with us. But in 2021, he has actually shown us a reminder of the batsman that England used to have in their ranks before maybe the burden of captaincy started to weigh down on him. And I'm talking about those two innings in Sri Lanka against decent spin, you know, and in oppressively hot conditions. Okay, the bowling may not have been of the absolute top quality standard, but still, two huge innings of note. Then in that first innings against India at Ahmedabad, and then today. And I totally agree. I think he has looked in superlative touch. I've just momentarily forgotten what he scored against New Zealand, whether he weighed in there as well. Obviously, England lost that series. But still, the point remains is he looks as comfortable with his game as I've seen in a number of years. Now, that can only mean good things from an English perspective, but he can't do it all on his own. And what really frustrated me today was, and I've heard you say this many times, when you look at wickets, it's very often the balls that led up to the wicket-taking delivery. You know, batsmen getting out, when you look in isolation, you can think, well, what were they doing then? You haven't seen the build-up of pressure that has led to that rash shot or that moment of weakness. But Bairstow looked in rich form. He looked in good touch. That you cannot say that he looked under pressure before he just pulled a delivery straight to deep square leg. Dan Lawrence had just hit Thakur for two boundaries, or certainly he'd hit him for one boundary and taken a couple, and then just missed a straight one. Josh Butler, two balls after lunch, maybe that played a part in his dismissal, but essentially just shouldering arms and was out for 17. You know, Burns and Crawley, yes, I could see the build-up of pressure to their wickets, but Bairstow, Lawrence and Butler will all be sitting there thinking, I left some runs out there. And if they got those runs, and we're talking maybe 20 to 30 between them, 20 or 30 runs, maybe a target of 250, it's a completely different game. You know, India would still need another 200. Maybe that pressure would have led to another wicket. And it's those little moments that if England do lose this test match, for all the hard work they've done getting back into it, they'll know in a weird way this is as good a chance to win a test match as they're going to get against this India side.
Absolutely. And I think it was the best of one that frustrated me because he was playing so well and he hit it so well. He hit it so cleanly. And you're thinking, if he doesn't hit it as well, it's like a centre forward when it goes across the goal and you just, well, you wanted to roll up your shin or hit his knee and go in the net. You know, this was Johnny smashing it. He absolutely nailed it straight down a man's throat. Yes, he was out there. It wasn't like Rohit Sharma, who wasn't in control of it, and he's hit it straight up in the air. Johnny's got over the top of it. He's tried to hit it down. He's hit it flat. I'm not going to say he was unlucky because he should have hit it down and he should have got on the ground, but it probably sums where Johnny's up at this moment in time. He's looked quite comfortable in both innings and passages. And you're thinking, he's got out and away, which, oh, you just think, come on, Johnny. And Johnny's the one for me in this five-match series that is going to help Joe Root. I think the Indian bowlers have got, they put Johnny on a pedestal because of what he does in the IPL. Johnny's got a fear factor to India for me because of what he does in the IPL. The Indian bowlers don't know a great deal about Dan Lawrence. They don't know a great deal about Zach Crawley or Tom Sibley or Rory Burns. You know, not a massive amount. You know, Burns maybe a little bit more than the other three. But Johnny Bairstow opens a batting for the Sunrisers of Hyderabad. He belts these bowlers all round the ground because he has been an IPL, in the IPL eliminators and in the, you know, the latter stages. And he's been the highest run scorer in the IPL. So these bowlers know what Johnny Bairstow can do. So for me, it's getting Johnny in and getting him beyond the 20, 30, 40. And then all of a sudden, there will be a fear factor there. So that's disappointing from my point of view with Bairstow. I just look at these players and I just say there's too many of them off balance when they're hitting the ball. And yeah, you teach kids at 13, 14 year old, what's the best lesson you could have when you're batting, and that's to be as balanced as you possibly can. If you're unbalanced, the likelihood is you're not going to execute the shot you're trying to execute. You're going to hit it up in the air. You're going to miss it because you're falling over. And we're at test match level. And there's far too many players now at test match level who are letting themselves down because they're so far off balanced when they're at the mode of dismissal. It is ridiculous. It's under 15 stuff. So that's what's frustrating me about the England batting unit. And I look at the England captain again. You talk about how Joe has evolved as a player. And yes, he's batting unbelievably well. And you can see why he had a little bit of a lull, because the batting unit just aren't performing. It's every time he goes to the wicket, he must go at the toss thinking, right, I need, you know, I've got pressure on my shoulders. I need to win the toss. And then when he puts his pads on, he must think, I've got to get 150 here to have any chance of winning. Because if I don't get 100, 150, we're not going to win. We're not going to compete, I should say. I have a chance of winning. And that's the frustrating thing about it. You looked at Joe Root and you mentioned the years in that 2013 to 17 period. You know, you had Sir Alastair Cook opening a batting, long periods of time. You had batsmen that were scoring runs, not much pressure on him. Now the England captain's not just got the burden of the captaincy on his shoulders. He's got the burden of actually having to bat for two, possibly three spots because we're not scoring enough runs, and that's not good enough.
What did you make of the bowling today? Because Bumrah, at times again, he's just an absolute class act, isn't he? Thakur seems to have the knack of picking up wickets. He's quite English, I think, in his in his approach to the wicket.
Big time.
But Siraj, boy, I mean, I don't know if Bairstow and Robinson understand Hindi, but if they do, wow. He was just, I mean, well, the umpires intervened on a couple of occasions. I mean, when Anderson came out, I don't know if you saw that, but he gave him an absolute mouthful. I think this series, actually, if he's not held in check, when you bear in mind the pressure on these two sides and desire for India to win, I think there's going to be a few flashpoints in this series. And actually, I wouldn't mind seeing it.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I wouldn't mind seeing that. I quite like that, to be honest. I think the way he goes about his business and goes about his job, I quite like that. I don't mind it. I don't mind him having a go. I don't mind him being fired up. Let's see if he's still fired up after playing five test matches in 7 weeks. Let's see if he's still steaming in like he has done in an English summer. And everything's, you know, the bus trips and the, you know, the hotels and everything that goes with it. Let's see if he's still steaming in at Manchester. If he is, good on him. The hilarious point with that for me today was even Virat Kohli told him to calm down. And if Virat Kohli's telling you to calm down, you must be getting close, because I think you're talking about the flash points. If England can bat and bat well and bat long, with Siraj at one end shouting and having a go and Kohli at the other end, slip, shouting and having a go if a decision doesn't go his way, we could have one almighty fireworks display in the middle of the field. And if he goes like that, I don't mind that. I think it's quite good. I think it's quite entertaining and it's fun. That's what we want to see. There's a line you don't cross. Whether he crossed it or not, I'm not sure he did. I think Anderson gives as good as he gets. I don't think Jimmy will be losing any sleep over his cup of tea tonight. I think it'll be interesting when Siraj comes out to bat next time and Anderson tries to make them look like a fool. That's Test match cricket. Didn't have a problem. I thought it was box office. And let's see what happens later on in the series. It could be fun.
Oh, mate, absolutely. Absolutely, it could be fun. I love a bit of it as well. I think, you know, I've never had a problem. He may get in trouble for the send-off. Who did he get rid of?
Bairstow.
Oh, it was Bairstow. I don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem with is when you get 11 players, you know, in the face of the batsman who's just been beaten. That's where I find it a little bit unedifying. You know, that's 11 against one. In the truest form of the battle, it is the bowler against the batsman. And if the bowler wins, then fair play. I think he can say what he likes, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, it's only words, isn't it? I must admit, I found this test match really, really engaging so far. Really entertaining. Now, on days 1 to 3, part of the drama came from the poor cricket at times, the missed catches or drop catches and missed run outs, and some of the batting wasn't really up to standard. But today we saw quality from beginning to end through Joe Root. Let's not forget the innings of note from Sam Curran. And then Bumrah at the end, you know, he bowled 19 overs in the innings. But it was that new ball. As soon as the clouds came out again, do you know what it was? It was the floodlights here. The floodlights came on. There was periods of play when it looked a touch flat out there. The body language of the Indians and the ball itself, the pitch itself. Soon as the floodlights came on and there's a bit more cloud cover, new ball in hand, completely different prospect.
And that's England. That is England. That's why we love cricket in this country. And that's why we love Test match cricket in this country, because that Duke ball is, I know the commentators on the TV said, I think it was Michael Atherton had said, if we could get the Duke ball to be played around the world, I think we'd have some good Test matches and good fun if we could get rid of the Kookaburra, because of the, you know, less movement and everything that goes with the Duke over the Kookaburra. But I tell you what, it's box office. When you come to England, and many times I've said this over the course of the last few years, you don't look down, you look up. And when the clouds is over, it's a completely different ball game for what you're playing on. And it did do that. I thought Bumrah bowled nicely. Sam Curran, what do we do with Sam Curran? I find myself saying this every time. What do we do with Sam? Because again, he's played two absolute gem of cameo innings. Brilliant. To help us get to a position, because of our batters have not performed, we're still in the Test match. You know, the 30 there in the second innings. But again, we're playing with four bowlers. Can we afford to play four bowlers with Sam Curran as one of your bowlers? I just can't justify having him as a fourth bowler in a side and picking him as a number eight from a batsman's point of view. I just don't know what we do with Sam, because I want to keep him in my team, because I think he is box office. I think he's going to make something happen. If it does swing, he'll pick a couple of wickets up, not a problem. But if it doesn't swing, like it hasn't done tonight, a little bit, it was more nipping off the seam. And tomorrow, if it's a bit overcast, it's not swinging, it's nipping off the seam, you're asking a lot on day five of Broad, Anderson and Robinson to have to sort of do that when you haven't got much runs to play. And you think if Sam comes up and he doesn't quite get it right and goes for 12, 15, 18 or 3 or 4 overs, then that game is just going to go away from you. So as much as I want him in my team and he scores some great runs, how you balance that out, I think that will be a big, big topic of conversation in the England selection panel between the first and second Test match.
Yeah, your daughter, one of your daughters is going to kill you hearing that.
She is going to kill me. Yeah, she is going to kill me. But, and I don't want to say it, but it's reality that if it's swinging, he's in the game. If it's not swinging, he's not in the game. And we've only got three others and they can't bowl all day because we haven't got the spinner. It just shows you what a great asset we've got in Ben Stokes.
That was a point I was going to make. You've got Stokes in that team. You either play Curran or you play Leach. Now, England are going to go to Lords and they're going to probably have to play Leach, you would have thought. And so what do they do? Do they move Curran to six and he plays as a batsman, bowler, ahead of Dan Lawrence? Wood, you know, you've got a feeling Wood's got to come into this at some point as well. So can Anderson go back-to-back tests? He'd probably say yes. Broad, feel like he's playing for his place again, despite how brilliant he was during the English summer of 2020. So, but hey, that's a question. Do you know what? That question will be asked tomorrow. Because, yeah, of course, Sam Curran, as you make mention, if the ball isn't swinging and he's not being given the new ball, which he hasn't been, you know, the stature that he bowls at in terms of his height, if there's no swing, the margin for error is so small. And then, of course, the target for India is not a large one either, but it will be mentioned. You would have thought if India, you know, either go close, if England push them close, it's going to be asked about Sam Curran. And if India just canter to victory on day five, the question will be asked about Sam Curran. Does he justify his place in a four-man bowling attack? Well, that's why he's been dropped. That's why he's been dropped so many times, isn't it?
Yeah, because... it's a question for tomorrow night. And fingers crossed, he has a good answer and a good day, because it's about trust as well from a captain point of view, but also in a captain's point of view. If you're Joe Root and you're going, it's swinging, we've got favourable conditions, it's swinging, and you've got Sam Curran or you've got Jimmy Anderson, and you've got to have somebody nipping the ball away from Robinson or Broad at the other end, you're going, do we have Curran or do we have Anderson? The ball is swinging. You're going to go with a guy who's got 621 wickets, aren't you? So yeah. I feel sorry for the lad, but it's hard in doing that. I would actually like England to put more trust in his batting and actually think of him as more of a batting all-rounder, but that puts pressure on Butler, because Butler then has to go up one and he's not scoring any runs either. So in a unit that's not firing from a batting point of view, if they were firing and they were getting 100, if it was Cook, Strauss, Trott, Bell, you know, all this lot, I think Sam Curran at seven. Think as a batsman, Sam, play as a batsman, not a problem. Even if I had somebody like Moeen Ali as our spinner at number eight, still trust Sam at number seven. Go and, you know, young man, forge yourself a career as a batting all-rounder. Think as a batsman, as our fifth bowler. But when you've only got four bowlers, it is difficult to justify having somebody in the team, because you've got a 39-year-old and a 35-year-old who's going to have to bowl the bulk of the overs if the ball's not swinging, especially when you're playing against a team and a smaller total to defend. So it's great questions for the England select.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
What is going to happen tomorrow?
Okay, Harmy, what is going to happen on day five? There's so much uncertainty. On the face of it, India, strong favourites to win. But there's going to be fifth day pressure, fifth day pitch, fifth day crowd, whatever turns up. Although we've had four sellouts so far, and so you would expect a decent turnout. The weather, we have no idea. Day four, we weren't even supposed to get any play. We've had a full day's play. Again, the percentages, I don't think it's going to be sunny all morning. That's for sure. So that's going to play to the hands of the bowlers. And then there's going to be the pressure on both sides, especially if it gets tight. And, you know, the aggro that we've seen today, all right, Siraj probably won't turn up till tomorrow. And if he does, he's going to be batting at 11. So that would be interesting in itself if we get that far. But, you know, there's going to be a couple of moments along the way. I mean, it's kind of bubbled away. It's been a bit slapstick at times, but this could be an absolute classic, couldn't it?
It could be a classic. I think there'll be a full house again. It's Sunday. I think, you know, I can't imagine the tickets being at a high price. I think they'll be trying to get as many people in, and they're going to need them. England cricket team are going to need the crowd tomorrow. They're going to need the usual Trent Bridge weekend, get at India and sort of be, you know, ferocious for England. I just got a funny feeling England's going to win, you know. Ooh. I really do. I've got a funny feeling England's going to win. England get the back of Kohli early. Yeah. I think England can win this test match. I really do. I think, you know, talk about weather forecast. The forecasters couldn't get yesterday's forecast right. So we've got no chance of getting tomorrow's right.
No.
If we get a full day's play, I can see England winning a test match just because I actually think it's a one wicket game. If we can get an early wicket in the morning and get Sharma in or out, Pujara or Sharma out in the first sort of five or six overs and get Kohli in when Anderson's up there. I think it's so key that when Kohli comes in, yeah, Anderson's, he's got the stiffness out of his body. He's got the ball going where he wants. He's got it moving like he has been doing. And if we can get Kohli in at that time, it'll be a great chance for England to get Virat Kohli out. And if that happens and they get him out early, if India need 100 to win with Kohli out, for me, England win. As it goes down 60, 70, then obviously India come into it. But I've got a funny feeling Stuart Broad, Jimmy Anderson, Ollie Robinson are going to have a good day tomorrow, and I'm backing my boys to win.
Well, you heard it here first on the Following On podcast. We will be here back for you at the end of day five, no matter what the result is. Harmy will front up if India batter England. But look, we're still alive. I didn't think we would still be in this position ahead of day five after England was skittled for 183 in first day. But we are. So a mixture of great batting, poor weather, and a bit of ticker, I suppose. Quality on both sides, and we are set for what could be an absolute humdinger. So please join us on the Following On podcast following day five at Trent Bridge, and head over to YouTube for Harmy's 7 for 12. The YouTube channel, Steve Harmison, is fronting up for more of the same. But for now, thanks for listening to the Following On podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.